This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
It's kind of gloomy out there today, isn't it? After some nice days, not so nice this afternoon. Great day to sit inside, cozy up by the fire, and listen to the Mark Reardon Show. That's what people do. That's the image that I have of a listener.
Yeah, I think that's realistic.
They're snuggled up there with their dogs. Like
sort of like a fireside chat.
Yeah, exactly. Like my friend Jeannie Sullivan from Pet Supplies Plus, she has her little dog that looks like a gerbil. It's about the size of a hamster, a gerbil.
Sure.
Sitting there listening to the show because they're loyal. How's everyone here in this room? I've got good. A little, like everyone else does. I'm coughing a little bit. I feel fine, but I woke up this morning pretty congested, but this stuff's going around. Like, people have this, and it's lingering for a couple of weeks. And then there's the flu, and I'm talking about, like, the real flu. And, Fred, you're, like, the health editor at KMOX, but that's becoming a pretty significant issue across the country. I mean, you have a lot of people who are dying right now because of the flu.
It's bad right now in Missouri and Illinois. Illinois had its first pediatric death of the season. A couple guests I try to get in other parts of the country for the show said they have the flu right now.
Right. So you know that I have a medical degree. I think it's pretty clear that the audience knows that as well. But one of the things that always annoys me, and it has for years, Fred, you know this, is I have this this hang up when people say they have the flu when they don't have the flu. In other words, they get a little stomach virus or something like that that lasts for 24 hours, 48 hours. That is not the flu. The flu kicks your ass. It gives you body aches. It gives you congestion.
It feels like you've been hit by a truck.
Right, exactly. So, and I've had the real flu before, but it could last a couple of weeks. So, and then that's why it's so deadly for, in some cases, older people, right? That's the reason that we warn people about the flu. I've not gotten a flu shot, though. That's probably something. You know, I haven't gotten one in 3 years, Fred. The whole COVID thing kind of turned me off. I'm not trying to be like anti-vaccine or anything like that, but I'm just telling you, all the forced vaccines, and then I just stopped getting the flu shot. Do you guys get flu shots?
Nope.
Okay.
I do. I get a flu shot every year.
Fred,
I did not get a COVID this year.
I always used to, and I haven't gotten a COVID shot in 3 years, which, you know. The thing about COVID that's weird, too, is my dad just had it up in Chicago, so that's concerned because, you know, he's 83 years old. Then there's people like, we work with a couple of people here that literally have had COVID like 6 or 7 times. And I think I've had it once. You don't even know that you've had it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Right. Unbelievable. All right. Hey, let's talk about the media nonsense with what happened in Minnesota, because this is quite something. And I said yesterday, and I started, and I'm going to repeat this today, that I still have a lot of questions about what happened up there. I've looked at multiple video angles. I've seen breakdown after breakdown. I said yesterday that I can't, at this point, call this a 100% justifiable shooting. But I think it's being misrepresented by most people in the legacy media, as we would expect. I mean, the officer, to me, I think the biggest key here is that bullet came through the front window. Now, people will say, well, he kept shooting. Well, unfortunately, that's what you do, and he's trained to do that. This guy had been on the job for 10 years, and here's something interesting. Now, would this play in court, or could they even introduce this in court? By the way, this guy's not going to be charged with anything. But 6 months ago, Sue, I don't know if you've heard about this, and they have video of this. In another operation in Minneapolis, this ICE agent was dragged by a car about 300 feet right behind the car. He had 33 stitches in his leg. He was in the hospital. So what J.D. Vance said today, and J.D. Vance went up during the briefing. When Carolyn started the briefing, she kind of handed it off to the vice president. He kind of went off on some of the media coverage. Did you see the St. Louis Post-Dispatch story about this? Okay, well, this is, again, not to be unexpected, but they say, let me find it here, federal office, this is in the print edition, which I know nobody gets, but this, somebody who does get it sent me this, federal officer kills motorists. That's the headline of it, right? So no matter what, here's what I'm going to really emphasize, and I want to play some audio here this afternoon, but I listened to a lot of CNN last night and this morning, and I heard over and over and over again, and this was after J.D. Vance spoke this morning and made the case for this being certainly an officer defending himself. But they, over and over again, they said, oh, he's made his decision. You know, the administration has made their decision about what this is, and they say there's going to be an investigation. Why would you have an investigation if they've already made up their mind? Well, you got the other side calling this murder. I mean, they came out of the gate right away, Jacob Fry. This is murder. This is BS, right? So they're calling it murder. All the media is calling it murder. I mean, the responsibility on the part of the media. Although, I will say this, and I said this yesterday. Fred, did you hear Tony DeCoppel?
No.
Okay. So Tony DeCoppel, the new guy at CBS, and I'm going to have to say this as well, that NBC did something somewhat responsible last night in their evening newscast when they broke down the video, and they actually did it professionally and journalistically. So here's what I would say. I also think, in fairness, that the administration, president, the vice president, and Kristi Noem have overstated what happened yesterday in Minneapolis, and there's no need to do that. You can just give the facts of what happened. The guy wasn't about to be, well, look, I got to be careful here because we don't know everything.
No.
But the fact of the matter is that there were things that Kristi and the president have said that really are exaggerated, and I don't like that because you don't need to exaggerate it. Here's what you need to say. This person dropped her daughter off at school, a six-year-old, right? So what person in their right mind drops a kid off at school, which I do pretty much every day of my life, by the way, and have been for years, says goodbye to their kids and tell them you love them, and then decides that the best move for her life for the rest of the day is to play traffic cop and not allow ICE vehicles to go through, but to wave through other people, because that's what she was doing.
Oh, seriously?
Oh, yeah, she's waving through other people. At one point, she reverses the car. That's the other thing. You need to see the video that happened before all this, because you'll see how she's waving cars through, and then she moves forward to block the ICE vehicle. The two guys get out of that SUV. The shooter is moving his way around the other side of the vehicle at this point. So I do wish that the administration would dial down its description of this just a little bit, because it gives the left an opportunity to say, that's not what really happened, right? But there's a lot of things that we don't know. And going back to Tony DeCoppel, he interviewed Tom Homan last night. This is the way, in my opinion, the administration should have responded.
I think the city of Minneapolis is on edge. I think the country is on edge right now. You say the investigation is ongoing.
The investigation just started.
Just started. You say you can't comment on the video, which many Americans are seeing and reacting to.
I'm not going to make a judgment call on one video when there's 100 videos out there. I wasn't on the scene. I'm not an officer that may have body cam video. It'd be unprofessional to comment on what I think happened in that situation. Let the investigation play out. And hold people accountable based on the investigation.
See, I wish I would have heard a little bit more of that from Trump Advance, and no, I really do.
I think many members of the public are calling for the same thing, and so they're confused. Maybe you can help me understand how the Department of Homeland Security could conclude so swiftly that this is a, quote, act of domestic terrorism, that this woman, quote, weaponized her vehicle. By the very same standard you describe, this investigation is just getting started.
So that is a fair question, I think, from Tony DiCoppola. It really is, because I don't think this woman, we don't know enough about her. Maybe she is a domestic terrorist, because she seems to be, I've heard conflicting information, I'll be honest with you. There are some reports that she was one that was very active in this and kind of leading the operation. That tells you something right there. But I've heard contradictory views of that as well. This stuff leaks out there very quickly, and no one knows exactly what the truth is in the first few days for sure.
That's the question for Homeland Security. I'm the border czar. Well, I can tell you what I've seen on my airplane ride here, looking at numerous videos, seeing numerous social media posts, statements from the Homeland Security, statements from Secretary Noem. I'll leave it at that.
But as a law enforcement officer...
What good is it to do right now to me prejudge the facts of what happened today without giving law enforcement professionals, whether it's the FBI or the local police there, give them time to look at all the videos, talk to all the witnesses, talk to the officers, and make an educated decision on what occurred today. That's what needs to happen. I've been a cop since 1984. That is the process we must go through.
All right, we're going to have a couple of different people weigh in here this hour throughout the show as well, but Brian Kilmeade's coming up, former St. Louis County Police Chief Tim Fitch as well. Let me play a little bit here before we get to Kilmeade on J.D. Vance this morning, because he ripped the media.
Somebody sent me a photo of a CNN headline about what happened in Minneapolis, and this is the headline. I'm just going to read it. Outrage after ICE officer kills U.S. citizen in Minneapolis. Well, that's one way to put it, and that is the way that many people in the corporate media have put this attack over the last 24 hours. And I say attack very, very intentionally, because this was an attack on federal law enforcement. This was an attack on law and order. This was an attack on the American people. The way that the media, by and large, has reported this story has been an absolute disgrace, and it puts our law enforcement officers at risk every single day.
So he highlights some of this, but again, let's go back to the fact that who in their right mind would think that there are not going to be consequences if you block police, whether they're federal officers or otherwise, from moving through traffic, and you're specifically on purpose doing that. Look, that's going to end in one of three ways, okay? You're either going to get arrested, which they were trying to do, or you're going to get shot, which happened, or you're going to get killed, which happened, all right? That all happened, and that's on her. What I think happened, I don't know this, I think she panicked, right? Was she trying to run over the officer? I don't think so. That's my opinion. Did the officer have the right to defend himself? Absolutely. Especially if you see the angle where it looks completely like he's hit. The New York Times did a little breakdown of this, and their breakdown was relatively fair until they got to the part about whether or not the officer was hit by the vehicle. I mean, I think it's pretty clear from a couple of the angles that, in fact, he was. And here's what J.D. Vance says CNN left out.
What that headline leaves out is the fact that that very ICE officer nearly had his life ended, dragged by a car 6 months ago, 33 stitches in his leg. So you think maybe he's a little bit sensitive about somebody ramming him with an automobile? What that headline leaves out is that that woman was there to interfere with a legitimate law enforcement operation in the United States of America. What that headline leaves out is that that woman is part of a broader left-wing network to attack, to dox, to assault, and to make it impossible for our ICE officers to do their job. If the media wants to tell the truth, they ought to tell the truth that a group of left-wing radicals have been working tirelessly, sometimes using domestic terror techniques, to try to make it impossible for the President of the United States to do what the American people elected him to do, which is enforce our immigration laws.
Well stated, J.D. Vance. Boom, mic drop moment.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Hey, they had a vote in the Senate a little earlier today about congressional approval needed for any more action in Venezuela, and there were some Republicans who voted against the president. He's none too happy about that. One of them, not too hard to guess, came from Missouri here. Here's what President Trump said. Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Rand Paul, Josh Hawley, and Todd Young should never be elected to office again. I'd only agree on Josh Hawley because he's such a jackass. I like his policies, but there's such a difference in the quality between Senator Schmidt and Senator Hawley. It's not even close. And you know, I have to admit my bias. I helped put that idiot on the radar here when he was a law professor at Mizzou. And, you know, because I asked him one tough question after January 6th, they've never spoken with me again. And he's a jackass. So there is that. Hey, Brian Kilmeade's with us this afternoon. Hi, Brian. How are you?
Oh, good. How are you?
Well, I'm a little confused about some of the media coverage of what's happening in Minnesota. And I've been pretty honest that I'm open to seeing different angles, different, you know, pieces of evidence. But wow, I don't know if you saw or heard J.D. Vance. I'm guessing you might have heard a little bit of it, but he lit up the media pretty good earlier today.
And he should have. I mean, and by the way, just the irresponsible behavior of Pritzker, Governor Waltz, Governor Newsom, Mayor Bass, the respected mayors Chicago, and this clown. I cannot believe we have to deal and listen to him again. Like we had to listen to his crap as he gave up the police station in Minneapolis, and then Mamdani weighing in, calling it a murder. This guy's got the job for a week.
Yeah,
he's making his foreign policy known, and now he's letting us know how he feels about ICE. So this is going to be a nightmare here.
Well, what's your analysis of what happened? And everyone's got their own opinions, but I've been a little bit maybe more critical of what DHS, Kristi Noem, the president, have said about this, because I think they've overstated some of the facts when it wasn't necessary to overstate the facts. I mean, you could look at this thing the way it went down and say that the guy thought that the car was going to run him over. He has the right to defend himself.
Well, a couple of things. I mean, just the fact that, how many people do you know that when a cop tells you to pull over, you wouldn't pull over? How many people do you know that wouldn't roll down a window?
Brian,
how many people do you know that would pull away?
How many people do you know who would drop their kid off, who's 6 years old, and then all of a sudden pull sideways in a street to block federal agents? That's a very valid question. That's Mother of the Year stuff right there.
Yeah, I mean, the rest of you could tell. And by the way, if you went to a police academy, a nice academy, and you know the protocol, you can read the law. Okay, I get it. But you know the protocol, you know the training. I actually don't even think you should bring up that he had an incident where he was dragged and got 33 stitches. I actually don't think that matters, because you should not be overreacting, even though you're human. You shouldn't be overreacting. For example, if you threw on something much less serious, if you threw an interception in the fourth quarter last game, and then you do it again in the next game and you lose your mind, you go, well, he threw it the last, it's two games in a row. No, it doesn't matter. You're supposed to turn the page. So not easy, I understand, but if they feel as though that affects his decision, that's not helping his case, because you're not supposed to. You're supposed to, as law enforcement, you're not supposed to. If me personally, if I've already been harassed by this woman, she's known as being in the front, cutting off the cop these cars, and these are very experienced. It's a very experienced unit, so it's happened in other cities.
Right.
So listen, I know what you're up to. Don't know exactly what she said to you. I know what you're up to. You better knock it off. You got to come with me. You're mouthing off. Get out of the car. You're done. Instead, drive straight ahead towards the cop, who was not even in on the conversation. And then he opens up fire. Let them debate that. But to say it's murder and not to understand that the whole rhetoric that started when Trump got elected and started putting ICE in the streets to do their job, you should be more outraged that there was a president that let 9 million illegals in.
Yes.
Maybe you should take a look at the police blotter and see how many rapists and murderers he's already picked up from other countries that he wouldn't, that they were protecting.
You know, I said earlier, I understand your point about being dragged in the previous incident, and, you know, this will never get to court, but let's say it did get to court, that would probably not be, you know, introduced. However, I do think, you know, when the vice president referred to that, there is a, you're a professional, you're right, you're supposed to go by your training, but you can understand that he might be a little, just by human nature, be a little bit more sensitive because he was almost killed by a vehicle, which is maybe why he drew his weapon a little earlier. Brian Kilmeade back with us this afternoon. One of the things I love about our conversations, because they take place later in the week, is things that happened earlier in the week, like Venezuela, which was just Saturday, seems like it was months ago, Brian, because so much has happened since then. But your thoughts on what happened there and the response to, you know, what's been happening this week with the oil situation and the tankers and what might happen even beyond that?
Well, I mean, actually, I usually can see the options very clearly. And then I can say, okay, this is what I would do. I wonder what they're going to do. I did not see this as an option. I thought if you said to me, and you may have, what's going to happen with Venezuela? And I say at one point, the president's got to win this. If he does not take out Maduro in some way or he doesn't take the off-ramp, he stared down the president. He'll be more powerful than ever before. After 15,000 troops, soldiers in the area, sailors in the area, he had the president, he's got to get out. But I thought it would be the out, you know, the one who won the election and we take over. But the more I think of it, he knew on the ground through the CIA and the people that we know there, that she did not have the mass popularity or control of the military or the cops. So what happened is if she got plugged in there immediately and did her 100-day plan, you're looking at street fights. And she didn't think that she, and she's right, they're a party. The Republican Party doesn't have armed services. You know, the Republican Party doesn't have a National Guard if they took over. So this party won an election, and this guy won an election. He wasn't even in the country. So the president says, look, we've been looking at her. She knows her economics, and we think we can deal with her. I think they've been dealing with her a lot directly. Well, not going to know until they write the book. Now, I thought, okay, get rid of the other guys, and I think they will. But he does not want to deliver the mail. He does not want to sign the paychecks. He does not want to provide security. He does not want to make sure the buses run on time. So we said, you do it. We took Maduro out, and you better listen to me. And they go, well, why would you listen to him? Well, we got the military thing, and I thought that was it. And then I thought the oil, well, that's kind of like what everybody says, America just wants the money.
Right.
But the more you think of it, he says, the oil is the only leverage you have because it's the only industry they have. So you're not going to get a dime. These people are going to throw you out if we have your oil. So we put the blockade in. And then they say, listen, why don't you take 50 million barrels? Thanks. And then we're going to refine it, and Venezuela is going to profit. And yes, we'll take, you know, if we drill the oil, we'll work out deals. Exxon, Conoco, they all did the deals already. Maybe early on to pay us back for the military inconvenience, we get more of it. But we're going to make it, instead of 300,000 barrels a day, it's going to be 3 million in a short period of time. That's going to bring revenue for everyone. But not if we leave in 10 days. And Exxon says, I'm not going back if you guys aren't going to secure the place. I'm not going to worry about my people being kidnapped when they go to bed at night. So we can't do it. So this is makes sense to me. You slowly loosen the noose.
Yeah. No.
And then you keep that. Look at Colombia's message. Whoever thought the Colombia president, that lunatic, was going to call the president yesterday?
Yeah,
they
spoke.
New York Times is there.
Right. I know. That's fascinating, isn't it? Hey, I know you might have your differences with Mayor Mamdani, but are you going to help him make sure that people out there in your neck of the woods can afford World Cup tickets? Because you're a big soccer guy. I can't imagine you're not going to work part and parcel with the new mayor to make sure that government is involved in awarding World Cup tickets, Brian.
Absolutely. And you know what? If the Knicks play the Lakers in the finals, it's not fair that a guy making $45,000 a year can't afford tickets. So he should be forced to take Spike Lee's tickets. You know, so, I mean,
it's
the way democracy works, the way capitalism works. So, yeah, you could say I'm complaining, you know, you could make a phone call to the World Cup. Can you get me some working class tickets? And that happens. They have inner city tickets and for basketball games and hockey games. That happens. But just to go out and just say that it's not fair. I mean, the guy fundamentally, to his core, is a socialist, communist, to his core. The people he hired are so ill-equipped to do anything productive in life, but known to be left-wing radicals. This woman who they hired for rental justice.
Oh, I don't even get me started.
Ownership.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. We played the soundbite from the last couple of days. It's unbelievable, but he is who we thought he would be. Anything set for Saturday night? I'm sorry, Sunday night.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a great show. James Blair, the deputy chief of staff from the White House. Tom Cotton is going to be with us. I have, who is also going to be joining me, we have a whistleblower from Maine who says the corruption proportionally in Maine is worse than Minnesota, and it revolves, drumroll please, around the Somali community. They have a huge Somali population, and why does it affect it? The governor is running for the Senate there, and the governor, like the Governor Walz, has looked the other direction and let it happen. So we have that whistleblower coming forward. You've got Tommy Lahren's going to be joining us too, and I think that's about a wrap.
That sounds like a full show. Well, happy New Year. I hope all is well in your world, and we'll talk soon. We'll talk next week. Thanks, Brian.
All right, go get it.
All right, take care. One Nation, Sunday night, here in St. Louis. It airs at 9 p.m.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Minnesota must be part of this investigation. I think it's clear to everyone as they saw this that it feels now that Minnesota has been taken out of the investigation. It feels very, very difficult that we will get a fair outcome.
Why in the world would Minnesota be invited to be part of an investigation when at every point they've tried to thwart federal law enforcement? He's literally said that ICE is invading his city. Jacob Fry said, F off. We don't want you here. And Tim Walz and the rest of his party, I mean, I didn't play this, I don't think, when we led into the beating. You listen to these guys talking murder, murder, murder.
This officer not only needs to be fired and suspended, he needs to be charged with murder.
What we saw today was a criminal, murder a woman and shoot her in the head.
We have seen them terrorize so many of citizens in the 5th District and across Minnesota. And that has tragically led to this murder that we all watched on TV.
So let's say that it's not a good shoot just for a moment here, right? Let's just take the fact that she's in the middle of the street blocking traffic after dropping off her 6-year-old and address the responsibility of that. But nobody wants to do that. Again, I'm not arguing she deserved to get shot for that. That would be utterly ridiculous. But former St. Louis County Police Chief Tim Fitch is here. He's watched the videos. He's always a great analyst for this. Tim, you sometimes call situations like this awful but lawful. Does that fit perhaps in this situation?
Absolutely, Mark, especially when you first the first video that they put out and distributed widely. And that's the one I'm talking about. You really couldn't see the officer in front of the vehicle.
Right.
And then you saw different angled camera shots pop up through the night, made it very clear that, in my opinion, that he was most likely, and we'll wait for the final investigation, justified in what he did under Graham versus Connor. And I don't know if you're familiar with that case law through the Supreme Court, but clearly, you know, these issues, these force issues, are evaluated from a reasonable officer's perspective on the scene, not hindsight. So, but what I do fully expect to happen, Mark, I do fully expect the chief district attorney in Hennepin County, which is where Minneapolis is to charge this ICE officer. Remember, when she got elected, she had been the chief public defender, and then she got elected to be the chief prosecutor, kind of an interesting twist. And she ran on the some of her what she said when she was running was that she was going to charge more officers with crime. So I fully expect him to be charged with a crime, probably murder, some sort of manslaughter, whatever they call it in Minnesota. But also understand that if he's a federal officer, which he is, acting in the performance of his duties, he basically has, you know, the supremacy clause takes effect because he's a federal officer. They could charge him all they want. The best that could happen is what would happen is then the federal, DOJ people would appeal it to the federal court, take it out of the state court, and then the federal court would say he was justified. This isn't a crime, a federal crime, and it's over. So I think we heard J.D. Vance say earlier today that he has absolute immunity. And
yes,
I wouldn't say, you know, that I would agree with that exactly, but when you're right and you're a federal officer, he probably does have immunity.
Yeah, so let me go back to the Supreme Court case, because I am familiar, and I talked about this yesterday. Case versus Gardner, this was a Tennessee case from back in the mid-1980s, and there was a situation where in Memphis, there was a 15-year-old kid that was burglarizing a business or a home, and he was running away, and they shot him as he was running away. So the court rules that deadly force used to prevent escape violates the Fourth Amendment. But then they say the standard, police can use deadly force when they have probable cause to believe the suspect poses a significant threat of serious physical injury or death to themselves or others. And that would be the situation that we have right now.
Yeah, that's the Graham versus Connor Supreme Court case. That piece is where it's judged basically on the objectionable reasonableness standard. And it's based on a reasonable officer's perspective on the scene, not somebody standing off. You know, one of the protesters going, I don't think that's reasonable. No, it's from a reasonable officer's perspective, and no hindsight's allowed. It's easy to judge these things in hindsight, but that officer had literally split second to decide what he was going to do.
So one of the things, I want to get your response to this, and J.D. Vance actually responded to this person. I don't even know who the person is who tweeted this, but they said this: I'm a former defense attorney and currently a civil liberties attorney with no political dog in this fight. I watched the video at least 10 times from different angles and at different speeds and waited to offer an opinion, which I still reserve the right to change if additional information changes the calculus. That's fair enough, right? It's very clear that the officers instigated the confrontation. The woman initially tried to wave them past her. Well, that is not true. She was waving the people who weren't the officers through. She was blocking the ICE officers. But this is the part that caught my attention. He says, or she says, I'm not sure if this is a woman who is posting this, ICE officers have no authority to search a U.S. citizen or arrest her unless there's probable cause to believe she's harboring undocumented individuals, not a contention here. Is that true, that they cannot arrest her? Because they reached for the door. They were going to probably arrest her. Why wouldn't they have the right to arrest her as federal agents if they're blocking their actions?
There's been plenty of people they've already arrested. The DOJ have charged for exactly that. So I don't have a clue where he would get that one from.
Yeah, that's
or he or she.
It's bizarre. And what J.D. Vance said is, you know, in response to this person, her name is Janine Yaunis. I didn't see the name. He said the gaslighting is off the charts and I'm having none of it. The guy was doing his job. She tried to stop him from doing his job. That is indisputable. When he approached her, she tried to hit him. A tragedy, absolutely, but a tragedy that falls on this woman. And all of the radicals who teach people that immigration is the one type of law that rioters are allowed to interfere with. And that point there can't be emphasized enough, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree. I don't get that one at all.
So when it comes to the rest of the aftermath of this, because you know how this is. You and I have talked about these things so many different times. People are only viewing this through their political lens. Now, I'm open, like that person who tweeted. I said, look, if there's new information here or new forensics or new video or something that changes the perspective or the narrative, I'm open-minded. I was always open-minded to hear what happened with Darren Wilson and Mike Brown. But We knew that things probably were off the given narrative from the beginning of that, and that's what's happening here.
Yeah, hey, Mark, if you want to have a good time, go back and look at a story a week ago, local story. Illinois State Police trooper shot and killed a woman in East St. Louis for doing the exact same thing that this woman did in Minneapolis.
Really?
How much did you hear about that?
Nothing. I'm going to look it up right now because I haven't heard about it at all.
Why have you heard so much about this one, but not the one in East St. Louis, which was almost identical circumstances? It's because it's Minneapolis and it's ICE. That's what has generated all of this political interest in this.
Yeah, that's fascinating. All right, so I'm glad you brought that to my radar because I'm going to read this story here and share it with the audience. Chief, always great to have you on. I appreciate it.
All right, Mark.
All right, take care. Happy New Year. Yeah, so Sue, are you familiar with that?
No.
40-year-old woman was shot by an Illinois... I did hear reference to this over the weekend, but I don't know the details.
Okay? Right.
40-year-old woman fatally shot by an Illinois State Police trooper after allegedly striking a vehicle and driving toward a trooper in a stolen vehicle. According to an Illinois State Police news release, troopers were investigating a report of a stolen vehicle when they attempted to stop it near a convenience store. The details go on. The driver put the vehicle in reverse. Does that sound familiar?
Oh, boy.
Struck a car and then drove toward a trooper who fired his weapon, striking Terrence. So that is a very similar situation to the one that we're dealing with in Minneapolis. By the way, did you see the video of the car that had the kids in it and the guy that was abusing the young kid and there was a 15-year-old with him?
What?
Okay,
no.
So this was on Fox this morning. I'm going to have to look up the details. I'll tell you what, I'll take a break because that one is shocking. And it's really a little bit hard to describe on the radio because the video is so weird, but I'm going to share that here coming up. Don't forget, we have a Thursday edition of Sue's News coming up. We have a Friday Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. I've been teasing this a little bit. A rather significant announcement to start the show tomorrow that will be made by a high-ranking official in Missouri.
Oh, really?
Namely, the Attorney General.
Yeah.
The Attorney General of Missouri will kick off the roundtable with a significant announcement.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like the announcement.
I don't know.
Oh, this is so frustrating, Sue, because I saw this morning, this story. Let me see if I can find it here. Man, I don't know. Yeah, here it is. Okay, so this is frustrating because I saw this story on Fox this morning. But basically, there were police, and I think that this happened in Georgia. They pulled this guy over who had a younger child in the car. They were concerned about child abuse. While they were pulling out the driver, he tried to run away. And then the 15-year-old kid, who apparently was working with the dude, who we have pretty good indications, by the way, was not here legally in this country, go figure, tried to drive away. So the 15-year-old kid drives away. The cops chase him. And he goes into the woods, and the car, like, it looks like it flips over a couple of times because
good
he's driving
grief.
So quickly. The kid, I think, is okay, but it's kind of a crazy story, and I don't know why I didn't find it so much so quickly when I was just looking at the Google. Sometimes you got to be real specific.
That's how that works,
yeah. Real specific with the wording. Okay, let me get to a couple of different issues here that are related to this shooting because one of the things that happens, and NBC did this last night, CBS did it last night, New York Times has done it, the Washington Post, they break down, you know, these videos sort of frame by frame, right? And the New York Times makes the case, and I think the Washington Post is doing this afternoon too, that, you know, there's no doubt that he is not in jeopardy for his life. Now, like I've said, and I think of other people have said that this, I don't think this is an act of domestic terrorism. I think that that went too far. Did she have a political motive for being in the middle of the street? Yeah, of course she did, right? I don't think she was trying to run the police officer over either. That doesn't really matter when it comes to the consequences of what happened because that vehicle, 2,000 pounds plus, could be a weapon and could easily kill him. Now, we also know the information. And this would not necessarily be something you can enter into court, but this guy, and I saw the video of this, this is caught on video too, in a similar situation where they were picking up a felon in Minneapolis, he got the guy tried to get away, and this cop, this ICE agent, I'm sorry, was dragged 300 feet, ended up in the hospital with like 35 stitches. So when they go down their breakdown and their analysis of this, they, and I'm going to do this with the time codes that you can't see because there's no use in doing that over the radio, but let me tell you what the narration is. So at about 1:38 in the video that they put in here in their analysis, they say, let's look at the scene more closely. This is the agent who shoots the driver. He walks around the car filming, disappears from view. Other agents pull up and order the driver to exit the vehicle. That's, you know, that's true. 1:55, one of them grabs the door handle and reaches inside. The SUV reverses, then turns right, apparently attempting to leave. Well, that's misleading because while the SUV does reverse, when the driver puts it into forward gear, The wheels are turned to the left. You can see that. That's not even disputable. You can also see the wheels spinning on the ice, and then she begins turning to the right. Does that make sense? You look a little
lost. A little bit. Okay.
So, let me explain it this way. The New York Times analysis says it's pretty clear that the SUV reverses and then turns to the right, apparently attempting to leave. That's not true, because it does reverse, but when the driver puts it into drive, the wheels are still aimed to the left.
Oh, I see.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Before she begins turning it to the right. Now, that matters, because when she's spinning her wheels, that's the moment that the agent pulls out his weapon. And when he draws, she is not turning right. She's turning in the other direction. And I still think she was trying to get away. I don't think she was trying to, I don't know, maybe she was trying to roll him over. But what they do is, and this is convenient for the Washington Post, New York Times, and the others, they conveniently skip over the moment when the agent decided that he was being threatened. All of the analysis that I've listened to on CNN, when I've heard AOC and all the rest, they all skip over that. They don't want to talk about how the officer was hit by the vehicle as well. So this is what they say. He opens fire on the motorist. Again, this is the New York Times breakdown. Continues shooting as he drives past. The moment the agent fires, he's standing here to the left of the SUV, and the wheels are pointing to the right away from the agent. Well, they say this appears to conflict with allegations that the SUV was ramming or about to ram the officer. I do think that the administration overstated that a little bit, but he pulls his gun when the car is moving toward him. And as we indicated, Sue, we talked about this quite a bit yesterday, because we've both gone through this FBI training where you do simulated shootings and you have to make snap decisions.
It is eye-opening.
Yes, it's very eye-opening. So, you know, what perspective, and to me, one of the key pieces of evidence here is, because a lot of people are like, oh, he's shooting through the side window. Well, the bullet that killed her went right through the front window, directly at her, because that's the way that the officer, he didn't reach his arm around
no.
to do that, right? He was pointing the gun right at her. So the moving car is, I don't say speeding toward him, but it's certainly veering toward him. And then they say this: President Trump and others said the federal agent was hit by the SUV, often pointing to another video film from a different angle. And it's true at this moment, in this grainy, low-resolution footage, it does look like the agent is being struck by the SUV. But then they say this: but when we synchronize it with the first clip, we can see that the agent is not being run over. In fact, his feet are positioned away from the SUV. Now, we've gone from, John Sexton kind of broke this down today on HotAir.com. We've gone from an admission by the New York Times that it does look like the agent is being struck to a little different statement that the agent is not being run over. And I don't know how you can determine that without being in front of the vehicle. I was kind of hoping that you'd have a video that would emerge from, you know, a different perspective across the street. I don't know. There would have to be body camera stuff too, right?
I would think.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard that referenced to, but I have not seen anything.
Hmm.
So I don't know where this might go next as far as information. All right, we're going to take a break here at the top of the hour. When we return in the 4 o'clock hour, I got a few things I want to cover before we get to Sue's News. We'll have Sue's News on a Thursday afternoon. Jen Say is going to be with us, the founder of XXXY Athletics, the producer of Athlete A on Netflix. She's a award-winning U.S. champion gymnast, and she did a documentary on Larry Nassar, but she's gotten very active in the gender wars. And do you know that, I don't know what it is about Planet Fitness, Sue, but Planet Fitness...
Again?
Has put in writing that women's discomfort is not a reason to ban men from their changing rooms.
Oh, okay. What is?
Exactly. What is a very, very valid question, because there was another video that went viral from Planet Fitness of a man that... I don't know if you've seen this one. Have you seen
this
one? No. Unbelievable. So there's a woman that goes into the woman's restroom. There is a man in the stall. And unless this is AI, and it's not, you could be suspicious, you can see a distinct shadow of the man with his penis pulled out, and he is tugging at said penis rapidly for a long time, 20 minutes in this stall. And she admits, this is the other thing, not supposed to film people in the locker room, right?
But.
Well, when the guy's jacking off right in front of you in a stall, I think that you video that. But Planet Fitness stands by the tranny who's jerking off in the room. It's unreal.
I don't even know what to say.
I don't know what to say about that either. I really, and I apologize to children who might be listening, but if you haven't seen that video, it's exactly the way I described it. It's horrifying. And then you have the Planet Fitness people that come into the restroom, and they don't even challenge the dude. He basically tries to defend himself. I wasn't doing anything wrong. I wasn't doing that. And he's a male. I mean, yeah. If you look, there's no doubt that
that's
he
what he
is a full-blooded American male that wants to think that he is a female. But that doesn't work.
And finds
well.
It exciting to do that in the women's restroom.
I guess
restroom.
So. Hey, one of the stories that came out yesterday, you know, we have the legislative session getting underway, and they are trying in Jeff City, they've been trying to do this for a while, to get rid of most of the vehicle safety inspections in Missouri. Greg Damon, who, do you know Greg?
Why do I know that name?
He's awesome. He's been the Camo X Auto guy for decades, right? Greg and I have worked together. He is the GM at Sparks Tire and Auto in St. Charles. But he always has great opinions on stuff like this. He'll join us in the 4 o'clock hour. Also, Chris Klem, former Yuma Sector Border Patrol Chief, has some thoughts about the shooting in Minneapolis. Brian Ping, St. Louis native, who helped us a year ago. Remember what happened a year ago out there? Those fires in Pasadena.
Oh, yeah.
Altadena. And in the Palisades, and Brian's going to kind of give us an update 1 year later. He was awesome as a correspondent last year.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.